So, Rabbi Yisai, we are here in Perek Vav of Chayvus Levavos, Perek Vav of Shar HaTshuva, and the Chayvus Levavos told us that there are four. The Chayvus Levavos says that there are four different ways, four different incentives for a person to tshuva. The best way is a person does it on his own and is self-motivated, and on his own comes to the recognition that we better improve, or else we'll have wasted our lives, and we're in for a terrible tragedy when we come upstairs for our eternal reward. There will be nothing waiting for us, or some eternal damnation. The second way to would be have an incentive of tshuva is that the Rabbi Nishaladam sends someone to the sinner to admonish them, give them techach and musar to change their ways. And in this little piece, the Chavos Lavavos says a very interesting point. He says one thing is guaranteed. It's a fascinating guarantee of the Chavos Lavavos, that there will always be such a rabbi or a navi or a bal musar who will be there to arouse you to serve Hashem. Says goes from she'ain dor ve'ain makom shlo nitzav by tzadik hazeh. This is one of these little subtle things that the Chayyim Levavos says, like, you know, sticks it in and tells us it's always going to be there. So wherever there's a Jew, there's going to be a rabbi. You can't escape the rabbis. So if you want to move to Pocatello, Idaho, Reb David, to escape a rabbi, there'll be somebody there. You'll hear a radio broadcast. Someone can send you a tape. So, you know, I think it's my friend Rabbi Sinclair, Nor Sameach in Eretz Yisrael. He used to be a Hollywood star. He has a famous. He spoke here once. He gave his thing here in Muncie once. His whole story from Hollywood to Nor Sameach. And I think he tells the story of how Taka, when he was making a movie, somehow, someplace, he picked up Mesillas Yesharim in English, and that changed his life. So if Hashem doesn't send the rabbi, the Latzat to one person, Hashem will send his books. But it's guaranteed. This I saw many, many years ago. It was a soldier, an ex-soldier, a GI, who came to tell his yeshiva, and I was just married. And he wanted to learn. I learned with him, and he was telling me how God was following him everywhere he went. Any army base he went to, these remote army bases in Germany and other places, further out. And yet, somehow, wherever he went, as far as he wanted to run away from Yiddish guy, God was always tapping him on the shoulder, come back. So the Chavos Lavavos says, the second way is that a person doesn't arouse himself, but Hashem has to send a human being. But there's always going to be there, ein dor, ein makom, shol nimtza v'y tzadik, says. There's no generation and no place where we don't have a tzaddik who is qualified. As the Gemara says, in Kiddush Nayim Beis, ach l'kofsa shimsho shol Moshe, Zohar Hashem Shal Yeshua Tamido. Before the son of Moshe set, the son of Yeshua arose. Which is again, if you can't do more Kedushin, please. It's up there, there's a small shaft there. Now, give me the small shaft over there, right in front of you, my friend, right over there. Right? No, next shelf. So, this gives us a new understanding of why the last day of Moshe's life, he already appointed Yeshua to start to give a shiur. Rashi says the reason why Yeshua was talking in front of Moshe is that people, it might be missing there. Look in the shas here, there's a red shas then. I look over here, there's a shas. Okay, there's a shas over here, up there. The Gemara says that Moshe appointed Yeshua to give a shiur in his lifetime, so people shouldn't say that Yeshua is not really worthy, and that he wasn't worthy of speaking. So therefore Moshe Dafka was there to give his imprimatur on the words of what happened to Kedushin. Okay. To give his imprimatur. Thank you all for trying. Go ahead. But he says, the Chavos Lavavos, that the reason why Yeshua as I thought. It doesn't say this. It's a different gear than the Gemara here. The Gemara in Kedushin that we have doesn't say this. It doesn't say Moshe Yeshua. The Chavos of his quotes, actually, Kof says, Shem Shalom Moshe, Zorach, Shem Shalom Shalom Yeshua. Actually, Kof says, Shem Shalom Eli, Zorach, Shem Shalom Shalom Shmuel. That does say. But it doesn't say in the Gemara, it must have a different Girsa. The Gemara says, Mishameis, Rabbi Akiva, Noilad Rabbi, the day that Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was born. When Rabbi died, then Rabbi Yehuda was born. Rabbi Yehuda Adamora died in Babel, Rava was born. When Rava died, Ravashi was born. To teach you, Shein Tzadik Nifta Malayla, Machadivar Tzadik Kamaisai. And the proof positive in the Pasuk by Shmuel. It says before the Ner Lakim, the light of Eli, was extinguished, Shmuel came upon the scene. But it doesn't say Moshe Yeshua. Interesting, it doesn't say Moshe Yeshua here. It doesn't say it from the Gemara. He has his Girsa. Okay, whatever, without elaborating, but that's the rule. So the word is, actually, he has another Girsa it's not, we don't have. It says, he says, actually, Kof says, Shem Shel Eliyo, Zorach Shem Shel Elisha. Before the son of Eliyo set, the son of his disciple Elisha arose. Then he has the rest. The day Rabbi Kiva died, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was born, etc. Interesting, different Girsa. The point is that to be Jewish, you should know that the definition of being Jewish is that God will always send you somebody to keep you Jewish. There's a built-in guarantee, there's a built-in system whereby Hashem, in every door, in every place, there'll always be somebody reminding you. And it's really amazing today. So you have Yidden all over the world, and you have partners in Torah. So you have companies supplying free telephone time. I think IDT gives free telephone time. And free mentors, and there are people in New York are talking, learning with people in Hawaii, people in Hong Kong, people in Australia. You have all kinds of shaduchim, people in thousands and tens of thousands of miles away, and they're learning. There's always be somebody to teach you Torah. So that's the second level of tshuva, and the third level of tshuva is a person who is not enough for him that someone tries to teach him. He ignores the teacher. But he sees somebody who is punished, and when he sees how others who sin are punished, that arouses him. And the fourth person is the person who doesn't see others being punished. He actually is punished himself, and he doesn't repent until he actually suffers and is punished. That person is the lowest level of tshuva. It's tshuva, but the Chavos Zavos concludes and says that the lower the level of the tshuva, the less chance is that the person will remain a Baal tshuva, and the less chance that the Ribbono Shel Olam will accept his tshuva. We take on for Davar Pashut that Hashem is going to accept our tshuva and forgive us on all of our sins. Now, it's interesting. We know that Hashem even accepted the tshuva of Menashe. He did accept it. Even though it was a terrible sinner, the Malachim didn't want to accept it. You know, the fact is that there was a Chavos Zavos Mashma, and this really I really must research it a little bit more carefully. There is a possibility that your tshuva will not be accepted. In other words, if in a certain way it's a coerced tshuva and it's not so sincere, Hashem may not accept it, maybe not fully, and He may not forgive you for all your sins. You have to do it, he says, with real sincerity. In other words, if you're doing it for the fourth level, so it might very well be so insincere because you're just suffering and just doing it, you're not doing it because you regret your sin. And you're only doing it merely to remove the pain, but there's no real regret for the sin and no remorse and no respect for God. So Hashem will reject that kind of tshuva. Until you have real charata. Yes, that's for sure. That's correct, yes. Now, what I'd like to spend a little time with you today is that there's a tremendous desire for tshuva that is available to us, and it became very dramatically clear to me how powerful it is last week, on last Tuesday morning. So last Tuesday morning, I was zeichet to be in Lezhensk at the Tzion of the Rebbe Lemelech in Lezhensk, and I was there, and the Rebbe Lemelech there in the Tzion, they have printed in large letters his Tefillah Kaidon LeTefillah. Now this Tefillah Kaidon LeTefillah, he composed it, a prayer before the prayer. It's printed in a lot of Svarts, that's the one you show me at the Art Scroll, all Hebrew Svart Siddur, they print this Tefillah. But there are actually two Nuschos. The one that's printed in all the Siddurim is the abbreviated version. There's actually a longer version. So I'd like to, I don't think we can conclude the whole thing today, but I'd like to go through a little bit of the Tefillah Kaidon LeTefillah, which is it's really kedai to say if a person has 5 minutes before davening every day to say this, and with some sincerity, it'd be a gewaltige Sache. Tefillah Kaidon LeTefillah, prayer before prayer. Yiratzon v'necha Hashem l'kenu v'kev v'seinu. Shemea kol shavas atiru mazen kol tefillas ami Yisrael barachu. May it be your will, may it be favorable in your eyes, Hashem our God, the God who hears prayers of those who cry out to Him, hear them mercifully. She'etochin libeinu u'sichonei machshu esenu. First thing is that you should focus our hearts and rivet our minds and thoughts on tefillah. What's the purpose of davening every day if we are not concentrating and our minds are scatterbrained and we daven with often a fraction of our heart and mind in the siddur? So the first thing is to daven that Hashem, it's hard to do it ourselves, to daven that Hashem should prepare our hearts and concentrate and focus our minds, and utishager tefilaseinu b'pinu. Hashem, send our prayers into our mouths. Again, tefillah is a gift. Is there a tilum here, perhaps? Is there a tilum over there? Tilum on the shelf over there? Tilum. Yeah, you sit there, the art's called the Hebrew with the tilum in the back. But, okay, it's fine. That's good. So, thank you. So, Rebbe Melech is telling us that prayer is a gift. It's a gift to daven to Hashem. So he's asking, we're asking that Hashem should send us the gift of prayer. It's a gift. And actually, David Melech says it in Tillim, that prayer is a gift. Where does he say it? He says, Hashem, send me the gift of prayer. Someplace here. Let's see. Where does he say it? No, whenever you have to find it, it's not here. He says it over here. David Amel says clearly that he asks also Hashem should give him the gift of putting prayer in his mouth. To have a tefillah in your mouth is a gift. So if the Davin says, Rebbe Lemelech, that Hashem should put the tefillahs in our mouths. I mean, just the mere fact that we say before davening, Adonai Sfosai Tiftach Ufi Giti Lasecha, we ask Hashem to open our mouths and put the tefillah in our heart. But that's what I'm looking for. I have it underlined in my tefillah upstairs. It's a push the pasuk. I just can't find it. So we have to daven that Hashem should put the words of tefillah into our mouths. Oh yeah, that's right. It's Samach Vav. The last words of Kapitel Samach Vav and Tillim are as follows. Ochein Shama Lehim. Behold, Hashem is listening to my prayers. Hikshiv Bekol Tfilasi. Hashem listened to the sound of my supplication. Baruch Elohim, blessed be God, Asher Lehaser Tfilasi V'chastam Iti. God, who had not removed my prayer and His kindness from me. In other words, I'm thanking God for not taking the tefillah away from me, because the prayer itself is a gift from God. So we have to thank God that He gave me the gift of prayer. And David says, thank you for not taking away Baruch Aleihim Ashaleheser Tfilasi, my prayer, the Chasdo, which is his kindness to me, from me. Thank you for not taking my prayer away. See, if the Davin says, Reb Melech, send me a prayer in my mouth, listen to that prayer, I should accept it, I'm just a transponder, and I am echoing the prayer you put in my mouth, and please listen to the prayer, as I beg you, and I cry out to you with a broken heart. No, davening with a broken heart is a separate kind of a davening. So you have two people sitting together, one's with a broken heart, and one is no broken heart. And we're really so arrogant, and we're made so complacent, because we have a few dollars in the bank. So since we, Baruch Hashem, have a few dollars, and the business is going good, so I'm not so brokenhearted. And this week, my wife, the Shalom Bayis, is good so far. And this week, I haven't got any terrible reports from my kid's Rebbe, so I think I'm a knocker. And even if I got a bad report, as long as the main thing is the money in the bank. That's the main thing. As long as the money in the bank. Money in the bank is our biggest enemy. It makes us complacent. I must be a good guy, or else God wouldn't have any money in the bank. I wouldn't be making so much money. My business is going good, because everything else is good. So, you come to Davin, it's okay. When you're not paying your bills, you get a little more desperate. So, you have to Davin with a broken heart, even when it's going good. That's hard. And you, Hashem, please forgive me my sins. Forgive the sins of all the people. We forget our sins somehow. You know, funny, sins we don't keep track of. Our check deposits we keep track of. The bank statements, our balances and our savings and our portfolio from Smith Barney and Merrill Lynch we keep track of. But our sins we very conveniently forget. He says, Hashem, please forgive my sins. I have many. I haven't forgotten them. You know them better than me. Lifnei kisei chazecha. You know, really, I didn't want to rebel against you. Le'bemer de b'mal chalila chalila. I really didn't want to rebel against you. It was the fire of the Yetzirah that burns inside me all the time. The passion of the Yetzirah doesn't stop. That's not silence for a minute. And he always gets me. If he doesn't get me on the street, he gets me on the internet. He's going to get me, the Yetzirah. I don't have a filter on the internet yet. No filter guarantees failure. Guarantee that the sinternet, I call it. It's sin center. So the Yetzirah is burning all the time. The Yetzirah never stops until it brings us to Taivas Olam HaShofel HaZevel HaVolav. The Yetzirah is going to drag me down to the lust of this world and all its narishkeit. U'mevalvel es machshavei seinu tamid. The Yetzirah always tries to confuse my thoughts. They shouldn't concentrate. I should be tzedreit. I should be in a rush. And I shouldn't be where I want, in the right place. Even when we're davening for our lives, we realize every time we daven in the morning and mincha and ma'ariv, we should feel that it's mamash our lives. So while we were in Europe, by the tzion of a shalach kerestia, a phone call came in from a fellow who that day had some indictments against him, federal, state. He was desperate. He called into the people davening by the tzion of Shalach Kerestia, his money, daven for me. He was desperate. He's about to be put away for who knows how long. They davened. Good news is both charges were dropped. But that the point is that he was a desperate man. He saw the federal and state charges. We have not federal and state charges. We have cosmic, universal charges every day against us. Big time, eternal charges. We go around, no problem, not worried, everything's good. There's a big court case pending against us. Big court case. Every day we're judged. Rosh Hashanah is coming. And the final din v'cheshbon is also coming. But the Yetzirah confused our minds with his tachbulos. He's so clever. And we can't stand up against him. Because our minds are weak. Our brains are schwach. Our hearts are vulnerable, and we have so many tzaras, and we have so many tirdas, we have so many self-inflicted daily preoccupations, and havei olam hazeh, and the stupidities of olam hazeh, that I can't clear my mind, and I'm sedreit, and I can't concentrate. L'chein atoy el racham v'chanan, do me a toiva. Please, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, The chanois is a sherochim, v'richam de sherachim. Baruch Shalom, please, even though I'm not worthy, I'm not kedai, please, Goli v'adru l'fanecha, you hear my cry, you see my pain, bring me closer to you. And not just me, bring my mind and my heart, and burn out of me this terrible Yetzirah. And you, I can't scream at the Yetzirah, Baruch Shalom. You scream at him and tell him to leave me and let him not seduce me, let him not persuade me to leave your avodah. I get up in the morning with a brand to daven. By the time I get to shul, I already listen to the sports news and I listen to other narishkeit and the business. And by the time I get to shul, I listen to the radio. How can I listen to the radio before I go to davening? She's like, it's also to talk to somebody before davening. You shouldn't talk to anybody. I don't talk to anybody before davening. I just let people talk to me. I let the sports cast to talk to me on the way to shul. I let the business report. Rabbi, I only turned to the weather report. I just want to know if I wear a raincoat. With the Shem Shemayim, I don't want to get soaked. And then might be a chatzitza, my tefillin, you know, my hair would get wet. So, but meanwhile, I just have to listen to the latest scores in the basketball and the hockey you face. So the Yetzirah did that. He made you turn on the radio so you involve your head, so you're already thinking about stupidities before davening. Bajdan, please help me. Please help me to get rid of Al Yala Libeinu Shumma Shova Zora Khalila Chas V'Shalom. No foreign extraneous thought should come to my heart throughout davening. The whole day. Hein b'hokitz, oy b'chaloyim. Not while I'm up, not while I'm sleeping, and certainly not while I'm davening, and certainly not while I'm learning, and certainly when I'm doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah should be machshava zaka, tzlula, brura. When I'm doing a mitzvah, I should do it clear. First, me doing mitzvahs, and while he's baking matzahs, hey, look, big jolly, he's doing baking matzah. He went special to the market bakery, and his mind is who knows where. So the matzah might be chametz, but his brain is full of chametz. Heart is full of chametz. So I beg you, Hashem, I have such a weak heart, so vulnerable. Diyamash, you're saying, zaka, tzlula, brura, lefanecha, pure, clear, undisturbed. I should do your avodah. Ah, and I ask you, Rabbi Nishtom, that you should arouse my heart, and the heart of all my family, and all of my friends, levalkal chafeitim b'chavr seinu, and the heart of all yidden, that we should love you, and think about you, and our avoida should be avoida yeshara umukubelas l'tnei kisei kvodecha. Our avoida should be straight and clean and acceptable on the standards of Hashem's kisei hakavod. Tikva v'unasa b'ladeinu. Make faith in you firm in our hearts. B'li hefzik rega, not for a second, not. Your amunah should be tied up in us. Take away the things that make our faith in you weak. Don't let our faith get weak. I don't want to talk to people who have a weak faith. I don't want them to weaken me out. So the Yetzirah sometimes makes us constant knockers. I'll be makar of somebody, although we're not trained to makar of somebody. We get into big conversations. We end up that he was makar of us. You're not qualified. You don't talk to people who would have a bad influence. You get debates with them. Send somebody else. Send them the trained people. Stay away from people who have a bad influence. And make fun of Yiddishkeit. Make fun of Oyv de Hashem. Make fun of Yireyim. And he says, the main thing is Hashem, send into my heart, please, a ruach of tshuva. I should have every day a desire to do tshuva. How many times did we do tshuva lately? Tshuva, we're learning to this whole shari in the Chavos above to remind us that tshuva is not for Aseres and made tshuva. Tshuva is not even for Bahab. It's good to come tomorrow to Bahab. 7 o'clock, a little commercial for Bahab. 7 o'clock, so Bahab Shacharis, then Slichas, very good. Little tshuva, Slichas is always good. You have to do tshuva the whole day. The whole day we should be going around doing tshuva on our Chatoya. Spoke Lashon Hara. I did a lot of things. I spoke with Gaiva. I spoke with anger. I was insensitive. I wasn't nice. I was discourteous. I blew this bracha and that bracha. All kinds of avarice. Thought the wrong things of my tefillin. This is the tefillin, that the tefillin. So I beg you, Hashem, that you should have a ruach of tshuva the whole day long. V'tashpi aleinu ma'olam ha'tshuva. Hashem, influence us, send a heavenly influence upon us from the world of tshuva, tamid, always, Hirhurei tshuva, thoughts of tshuva, loshav elecha b'lev sholeh, v'lesakin lefanecha tasher pagamnu, and we should fix up that which we messed up in your names, akdosh v'dahar. Because we should know, every time we do an aveira, we are not merely corrupting ourselves. Halavai, we have a sense of corruption. And, you know, you had a little stain. So what was your biggest concern yesterday? Besides the other concerns of Shabbos? You got a stain on your suit. At the Kiddush. And you're such a yetzar to go and rub it off on Shabbos, or take a little water and clean it off on Shabbos. And that way you'll be over in Issa Deraisa, Yechayiv Misa, because you're cleaning on Shabbos, and you're over in the Issa Deraisa of Malabein, and just as bad as going in the car on Shabbos. So you're confronted with this big problem, and you overcame it. So you overcame it. You know, the whole day we have this shyness like this, and that many times we flunked in this shyness. We shouldn't forget it. We shouldn't forget that we're flunking, and we need a Cyrus Moilam Atshuva to let us do tshuva for these things, the Leif Shalem. But we should realize that if we Taka did clean our jacket on Shabbos, or we did some other things on Shabbos we shouldn't have done, and we touched Muktz all over the place, and who knows what other things in Boira, we don't even know what these things mean. So besides that, we messed ourselves up, we corrupted ourselves, we think we cleaned ourselves, we filthied ourselves, we also wrecked God's world. We left havoc in the world. We left havoc. So I saw all these shuls in Poland and Galicia, destroyed shuls. Wow, Nazis, terrible people. Uy, Nazis, Yamach Shemam. Wow, look at this shul, no roof. Look at this shul, burnt down. Huh? The Nazis didn't burn the shul down. The people who talked in the shul burnt the shul down. That's the people. We burnt the shul down. If the shul was reinforced by people not talking and people sanctifying the shul, a holy shul cannot be burnt down by any Nazis, by any Poles, by the Ukrainians. Can't be done. The Taisis Yomtev, whose grave I was at in Krakow, the Heilige Taisis Yomtev, the Rav of Krakow, said that in 1648, all the shuls that were destroyed, burnt down with the members inside, Rachman al Litzlan, but the talk turned davening. So the Nazis didn't burn the shul down. The people burned their own shul down with themselves inside. It's terrible to say. But it's true. It's great to say because this is maybe the tshuva. So he says, remember, you're doing aveira. You have the tshuva not because you merely sullied yourself. We're doing aveira. Not only did I mess myself up, I messed up the whole, I messed my shul up, I messed the neighbor up, and I was poigim in Hashem's name. If there wasn't so much sin in the world, we would see Hashem's name emblazoned on the skies. So Lahavdil, Elif Abdullah, when Picasso and Rembrandt, when they make their paintings, they sign the signature. Anybody does a masterpiece, puts his name on it. Today, all the architects put their plaque on the building. This architect made the building. If you're proud of something, you put your name on it. So you think the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is any less? Hashem's signature is scrawled all over the heavens, all over the planets, all over the universe. That's the shemus of Hashem. Oh, you went to the Hayden Planetarium? Did you see Hashem's name? On Uranus, and on Pluto, and on Alpha Centauri? You didn't see it. That's because our Averis have obliterated the name of the author. Because since we ignore the author, we are thereby erasing the author's or the painter's a signature from his masterpiece. That's what he says, Rebbe Melech. So you should chew on the fact that not only corrupted ourselves, but we also obliterated God's name from the world. And I'll conclude with this. He says, there's more to talk about. We'll talk about next week, Mr. Hashem, a bit more. He says, now he says his famous words. He says, Hashem, save us from kinah, save us from jealousy. We shouldn't be jealous of our friends. Very hard thing to do. Very hard. Adarabba, this is the famous song. Adarabba, titein b'libeinu, shenireh kolechad mailas chadei revelecha sron. Adarabba Hashem, you put in the heart that every one of us should see our friend's advantages, our friend's good points, rather than seeing their deficiencies. Adarabba, instead of being jealous of my friend, and looking at the bad eye, and trying to knock him, and always thinking how much I'm better than him, I should try to think how I'm worse than him and how he's better than me. Adarabba. I should see how he has an advantage over me, how he's better than me. That requires training. It also requires siyata d'shmaya. The main thing is, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to give you nachas ruach. I want, listen, this is very powerful. I want, when you look down from Shemayim on me, you should have nachas. When you look down at me, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want you to say the Malachi Sharis. You see my Yidla over there? You see Yankel of the Yidla? You see Michoel the Yidla? You see Shmer the Yidla? You see Shprinza the Yidnta? You see Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah? Look how beautiful they are. Look how much nachas they give me. Look how they are aware of my presence. Look how much they want to glorify me. Look how much they follow my Shulchan Aruch, my Gemara, my Chumash. So every time the Yetzer wants us to do something bad, to defy Hashem's will, the most powerful hero tshuva, the most powerful thought of repentance is, how can I do this? I'll be embarrassing my Father in heaven, the Rebbe Hashem is so good to me, and I'll have to turn away from me. Oy vey! How can I? Hashem can't even look at me while doing this aveira. He's going to look away from me. I'm giving him tsar. I'm obliterating his name from the world. His mom is embarrassed for me. And the Shemayim, all the Malachim are looking away, they're cringing. The Rebbe Hashem is cringing. Oish, my son, my daughter, my kind, does such an oish, oish. And we always give tzar to the Shechina. So who would want to do that? I want to act in such a way. That's the whole purpose of davening. Davening is all about praising Hashem. I mean, that's going to get into our heads. Davening is not about, again, the shopping list of what I need. The main thing of davening is to praise Hashem. And even when we ask for something during davening, says the Chavis Levavis earlier, that the purpose of tefillah is to show that I'm praising you, Hashem. That I know that the only power in the universe that can fulfill my needs is you. So even the request is really a form of praising Hashem. Hashem is the only Hashem is in charge. But the last thing I want to do, since my life is dedicated to praising Hashem and giving pleasure to Hashem, how can I sin in such a miasa, disgusting fashion? How can I entertain these kind of thoughts? How can I entertain these kind of words? How can I entertain these kind of visions, these kinds of actions? Hashem is going to cringe. Hashem is going to cringe. I can't do that to Hashem. That's the most powerful here at Tshuva. There's a lot more here. We'll continue with Mitzvah Hashem.